Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Ann Garrido, an Associate Professor of Homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Ann lives in Miami, and her preaching today is entitled, As Spacious as the Heavens.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. There's something strange about this passage. And I'm not talking about the fact that shepherds have come to visit the baby Jesus at the urging of a host of heavenly beings, nor that Jesus' very name was decreed by an angel. Say nothing of the fact that in Matthew's gospel next door, there are magi approaching, about to enter stage from the east. In ancient times, the life stories of remarkable people often began with stories of a remarkable birth, in which there were embedded clues, foreshadowings of how this person's life would unfold in their adulthood. Luke, whose writing style was so clearly influenced by Greek literature, and who was trying to reach a Gentile audience, imitates this tried and true classical form well. No, what's odd, what would be so out of place in the other literature of the time, is actually verse 19. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. In Greek writing, and even in Jewish writing of the time, people act. People say things. They talk to God. God talks to them. They offer sage advice to their young, but they don't think. They don't ruminate. It seems obvious enough that people must actually have had thoughts before acting or speaking. They must have pondered stuff, but it's rare in ancient literature to find evidence that people were aware that they were doing so. It's rare for a writer to describe what is going on in another's mind. Rare for a character in a story to ever give evidence of having what we might call an internal life. I once heard, and perhaps this is neither here nor there, but I found it fascinating, that one of the most remarkable things attributed to Thomas Jefferson in his own time was that he was able to read quietly. Now, you might be wondering, what on earth? This was a surprise to me, too. But apparently, all the way up into the late 1700s, when people read a book or a document, they always read it aloud, even if they were alone in a room. Thomas Jefferson was one of the first people who could read something and hold it exclusively in his head. And at the time, the capacity was considered almost magical. And yet here is Luke, 1700 years earlier, portraying Mary, a woman nonetheless, as possessing an internal life. Not only was she someone who freely asked questions, how can this be, since I do not know man? Son, why did you do this to us? She is then someone who could take new information and experiences inside and work with it, till it for meaning, until it finally began to make sense. Not once, but twice, here in today's story of the shepherd's visit, and later when Jesus is found in the temple, Luke speaks of Mary as holding on to what she was hearing in her heart. The heart playing a role in the biblical worldview, similar to what we in the West might now say about the mind. The heart was the seat of wisdom, of discernment. And in doing this, Luke portrays Mary as a woman centuries and centuries and centuries ahead of her time. She was a woman with what we now would label consciousness. One of the most ancient Greek titles for Mary, based on Luke's portrayal of her, was Platitara tun uranan, more spacious than the heavens. On a day dedicated each year to Mary, it seems a good time to ask, what is the state of our consciousness? 2020 was quite the unexpected year, filled with mysterious happenings, confusing, hard to make sense of. Many times we heard calls to embrace a growing consciousness of racism, of our environmental impact on Earth, of the way our personal choices around COVID shape the lives of others. We were challenged again and again to become more reflective on our experiences and what God might be doing within them. Expanding consciousness can be an exhausting way of being in the world. So many questions, so much confusion, so few immediate answers, the elusive struggle for meaning. What would it look like to have a heart more spacious than the heavens? At least for me, I know I have a long way to go before that title could be applied to me. But as we welcome 2021, perhaps we can recommit ourselves to developing this amazing capacity for reflectivity, for consciousness, exemplified 2,000 years ago in Mary's life, and yet still so fresh, still so new in the history of humanity, that even now it appears strange. We can recommit to tending to and cultivating our internal life with pauses, with prayer, with journaling, with reading, with openness to new experiences, with time devoted to spiritual direction or counseling, with long walks, whatever helps, so that we too, like Mary, might become forever spacious as the heavens.